You are listening to the audio preaching podcast from North Valley Baptist Church in Santa Clara, California, led by Pastor Jack Treiber. Though located in the heart of the Silicon Valley, you will hear fervent, old-fashioned revival preaching from the pulpit of North Valley Baptist Church. It is our desire that you will be helped by this gospel message.
Luke chapter number 17, and it's a great privilege to be able to preach God's word tonight to our church. And my wife and I are so blessed to serve here at North Valley Baptist Church. This month marks 10 years that we've been able to serve alongside the wonderful people of this place. And we count it a joy and an honor. And we are so blessed to serve alongside our pastor, Mrs. Treiber. They have invested so much into our lives. And we are very excited about them returning tomorrow and coming back home. And we're going to have a wonderful weekend together as we look forward to Thanksgiving. Tonight I want to read with you Luke chapter number 17, verses 11 through 19. And I know you've been at work all day and it's been a busy week. And I want to encourage you to read with me these verses of Scripture as we begin the message tonight. Luke 17, verse 11 through 19. Would you read them along with me in unison? Let's stay together and pause at the commas, semicolons, periods, and let's begin at verse 11. Ready? Begin. And it came to pass, as he went to Jerusalem, what a privilege it is to hear you read that passage tonight. And as we look tonight at this particular scripture, it's such an amazing study to look at the life and ministry of Jesus Christ. I love that as we study Jesus' life and ministry, we can see that he ministered to the multitudes. He met with throngs of people, thousands at a time. They gathered around the seaside or on a hillside, and he would teach and preach. And we can read passages where he's dealing with the masses and teaching them about the kingdom of God. But I also love that Jesus, not only did he have an interest in the crowds, but he had an interest in the individual, the one. And we see that he would sit down at a well and talk to a Samaritan woman. We see that he had an interest in the lame man. Or he would stop by the side of the road and look at a blind man that had no hope. And it's just amazing that Jesus would pause and help the individual. He cared for people as he went about his daily walk. I love that we can look through these gospels and see the interactions that Jesus had. And we can see what he did with people. He would ask them questions. He would give them illustrations. He would give them parables to teach truths. And he responded very positively to some people and their behavior. And we can also see that he either reprimanded or was very negative about other behaviors that people had in their lives. As we read our text tonight and we look in the middle of the book of Luke, this gospel provides us the only account of this particular encounter that Jesus had in his earthly ministry. And I want to survey this story, though it may be familiar. And I want to encourage you with a simple truth based on Jesus' reaction to this story. I want us to catch a glimpse of what God expects from us because of what happened in these verses here. It's my prayer that we'll glean from this text, the practical application for each of our lives. So let's bow for prayer and, ask God's blessing as we get into the truth tonight. Lord, I'm so thankful for our people and God, how they've worked so diligently this week, and yet they've come tonight expecting to hear from you. And I pray that you'd use the passage of Scripture in our hearts and our lives. I pray that we'd leave here more like Christ because of what we hear. In Jesus' name, amen. As we look in verse 11, Jesus is traveling. He's going towards Jerusalem. And Jesus was doing a lot of traveling in his ministry. I think of the Stenses here. They do a lot of traveling for their ministry and furlough and going all the way around the world to Uganda. We've got the Jumawans here. Brother Whitlow, they do a lot of traveling. Jesus did a lot of traveling for his ministry. But wherever he went, he always went there on purpose. He always had a reason for going to the spots that he went. And on this particular journey, he's going to Jerusalem. Well, the Bible tells us that he went through a certain village. Now, this village to us may seem insignificant. It's not even given a name. It's not recorded what village this was. And maybe it's just a small residential area. But the Bible tells us that it was important to Jesus. There was a meeting that was about to transpire in this particular location, and Jesus went that way on purpose. And as he got to that particular town, as he's approaching the outskirts, I can just imagine Jesus is coming, and off in the distance we see there's a group of men. This band of 10 lepers, as we just read. Now, they're outside the city. They're outside of the population because we see that they're lepers. Now, if you know your Bible, leprosy is a very devastating disease. It is a disease that is likened to sin in the Bible, and it attacks the nervous system so that the victim can't feel pain. If you smash your thumb with a hammer, you wouldn't realize you just hurt your thumb. You could stick your hand in a flame, and the nerves of your hand were so disintegrated and debilitated that you wouldn't feel the pain. And so consequently, the infection would set in. There would be degeneration of the tissues. Limbs would become deformed and fall off. It was a horrible disease. It was a dreaded disease. It was a basic death sentence. There was no cure. But leprosy's defilement and its problem was deeper than just the physical pain and suffering. For you see, these men were very contagious. That leprosy could be spread. So they were removed from society. They were pulled from their homes. They were removed from their families. They were sent out into these leper colonies because they were contagious. They had to be isolated. It brought separation. They kept their distance. These men really, they had no hope. They had no future. And they really had no cure. They lived day to day with a death sentence. But praise the Lord, this day was going to be a different day. What seemed like just any other day began to change because can you imagine as those 10 lepers were gathered around the breakfast fire that morning and then the word began to spread into town that Jesus was heading that way? These lepers began to get excited. I can imagine that they began to perk up because they had heard the stories of Jesus. They had heard the stories of his ministry. It was back several chapters in Luke 5 that Jesus already had healed a leper and sent him on his way clean. If you look in Luke 7, Jesus sends his disciples to John the Baptist, and when he's telling him to talk to John the Baptist about what he had done, he said, tell him we've healed the lepers. They've been cleansed. So Jesus has promoted this, and he's told about this, and word is spread, and we see that these lepers begin to become very excited, and they go to an area where they can see Jesus approaching, and they begin to cry out, Lord, Jesus, Master, and they're calling for Jesus. That word Master that we see there in verse number 13, they said, Jesus, Master, have mercy on us. That word Master means commander. It means chief. They knew that Jesus was totally in command of their disease, the death sentence that they had. Excuse me, and they trusted that he could they trusted that he could help them. They said, Jesus, you're in control of this. Well, then let's see Jesus' reaction. As they're crying out, they're beseeching Jesus for help, we see that Jesus saw them. Look at verse 14. When he saw them, he said unto them, go show yourselves to the priest. These 10 men, they have instructions from Jesus. Go show yourselves to the priest. That might seem like a simple thing to do. It might seem like a logical thing to do. But if you really study the Bible, you didn't go to the priest until you were clean. If you were a leper, you didn't go into the town. You didn't go to the priest if you still had leprosy. You only went there if you were clean, if you had been healed, if there wasn't any sign of the disease anymore. So these men are looking at each other, all 10 of them standing there saying, well, that guy's still missing his ear. My skin's all rashed up here on my arm. And man, I can't feel anything in my finger. But Jesus said, go show yourselves to the priest. And we see that these men immediately begin to take off towards the priest. As they begin to walk, the Bible tells us that as they went, they were cleansed. As they obeyed Jesus, a miracle transpired after they obeyed. It's amazing. We expect God to do for us, but we don't want to obey the simple plans and the simple commands of Scripture. But Jesus gave them this command. They went and they were cleansed. The Bible says that they were cleansed. Can you imagine the elation that as these men are walking down the street towards the city, leper number one looks over and out of his corner of his eye sees leper number two, his ear just shows up. Or you see leper number three, he just catches out of the corner of his eye, leper five, and his rash just went away. And all of a sudden, these men start looking left and looking right. And they begin very excitedly to say, hey, you're looking good. Hey, you're healed too. We're all clean. And they begin to become very excited. Can you imagine the load that was lifted in their lives? Can you imagine the fear that was removed? Can you imagine the hope that just kind of started to well up within these men as they realized, I might get to go home to my family tonight. I might be able to just live a normal life again. And these men began to be very excited. Now, they're picking up the pace. They're starting to head into town with a little more gusto now. And they're ready to go see these priests. But at this point, you would expect these 10 men to all probably stop and look at each other and return to Jesus. You would expect them to come back and thank him for their new start in life, for the kindness that he showed them, for his miracle-working power. How grateful they should have been for the providence of God that brought Jesus to that area. They should have been grateful for the love that Jesus exhibited in taking time and paying attention to them in their hour of need. They should have been grateful for the grace and the power that Jesus brought about their healing. These 10 men should have formed a singing group and started praising Jesus right then and there. But after being cleansed in verse 14, that's the last we see of 9 of those men. Their story just ends. There's nothing else. But this is where in verse 15 and 16 we see a challenging testimony from one of those men. We see the Bible tells us he was a Samaritan, and he's on his way to the high priest just like these other men. But all of a sudden, in the midst of their traveling, he kind of slows up and he stops. His pace comes to a standstill. And then he turns around and he begins to walk back towards the direction he had just come. He makes his way back to where Jesus just met with those men. And as he gets closer, the Bible tells us what he does. The Bible says that he begins to, with a loud voice, glorify God. He begins to shout at the top of his lungs, Jesus is worthy. Jesus healed me. Jesus is merciful to me. Jesus is powerful. And he begins to, with a loud voice, magnify and praise Jesus. But then we see as he gets closer, he's continuing to praise Jesus with a loud voice, but it amazes me that he gets close and then he gets down on his hands and knees, and he gets down prostrate at his face to the floor, and he begins to thank Jesus. In this humble position, face in the dirt, he begins to thank Jesus. With a heart of humility, he says, "Thank you, Jesus, for passing my way. Thank you, Jesus, for seeing me in my hour of need. Thank you, Jesus, for the love. Thank you for the compassion you showed on my life. Thank you for cleansing me. Thank you for your power. Thank you for your goodness in my life. Thank you for your grace." Jesus is watching all this transpire. Verse number 17, he responds. Were there not 10 men cleansed? Where are the 9? Tonight the message is coming from verse 17. Where are the 9? Where are all those other guys? Where are all the other people that I heal? It's not that Jesus had his math wrong. It's not that he couldn't remember. Were there 10 guys here? It wasn't that he's wondering, where are they at? He knew exactly where those men were. But he was wondering why, after such an amazing miracle took place in their life, why they weren't there with thanksgiving. Why weren't they there with a glory in their heart towards the Savior? There's a missing ingredient in our society today, and it's something that's a very evident characteristic of the last days. 2 Timothy chapter number 3, verses 1 and 2 says, "This know also, that in the last days perilous times shall come. For men shall be lovers of their own selves, covetous, boasters, proud, blasphemers, disobedient to parents, unthankful, unholy." The missing ingredient in our generation is thankfulness. I wonder if Jesus is asking that same question today. Where are the 9 in my church? Where's the gratitude from those that I've saved? Where's the thanksgiving from the people of God that I've blessed so richly? Where's the praise and the glory for all that I've done on their behalf? Where are the 9 tonight? Where are the 9? For you see, we were all sinners. We're just like these men. We had no cure. We had no hope. We had no peace in life. The Bible tells us that all have sinned. And we all had that penalty, that punishment awaiting us, death and hell in a lake of fire. But Jesus loved us so much that he sent his son to die for us. Jesus made a way for our salvation, a cure for our sin-sick soul. And do you remember the load that was lifted in your life at salvation? Just like these men. Do you remember the eternal separation that was removed from your life? Do you remember the sin that was cleansed? Do you remember that you were made a new creature? All this transpired because God was so good to each of us. After salvation, God has continued to bless our lives. If we're honest, our lives are so richly blessed. Psalm 68:19, "Blessed be the Lord who daily loadeth us with benefits." Psalm 37:25, "I've been young and I've been old, but yet have I not seen the righteous forsaken, nor his seed begging bread." So often we're content to enjoy the gifts that God floods into our lives, but we fail to thank the Lord for what he's given to us. We're content to receive, but we're not really thinking about being grateful. Where are the 9 tonight? After all we've received from the Lord, I wonder if we've become so accustomed to the blessing. We're just so used to it that we've become calloused in this area of gratitude. Tonight, Jesus asks, where are the 9? We began the service singing, "Count your blessings." But when's the last time we really sat down and counted them? We have the Thanksgiving list in our bulletin, but is that something we do other than just at Thanksgiving time? Or is it just a November occurrence and then we go on our way? I want to give you several observations from this Samaritan man, this one that returned to give thanks. Several observations I think we can glean from. Number one, thankfulness is a choice. Thanksgiving is a choice. This man had every reason just to continue on his way. He was with the crowd. He was with his nine other buddies, and they were going to do what Jesus said, but he made a choice. He stopped, he turned around, he went back, and he went through this series of thanksgiving with the Lord Jesus himself. He made a specific choice. When's the last time you've made a decision to thank the Lord? When's the last time you just sat down in the quiet of your living room and began to list what God has done? You just contemplated all the good things that God has bestowed on your life. Psalm 18:49 says, "Therefore will I give thanks unto thee, O Lord. Among the heathen will I sing praises unto thy name." Psalm 30, verse 4, "Sing unto the Lord, O ye saints, and give thanks at the remembrance of his holiness." Psalm 92:1, "It's a good thing to give thanks unto the Lord." We know we should be thankful, but do we make the choice to be thankful? I remember as a boy, I remember my mom. Excuse me. Whenever my birthday would roll around, I would love getting presents from my friends, from my relatives, from my parents. I love gifts. Let's be honest, you like them too. And when you get those gifts, you know, we can say, oh, I'm thankful for those presents. And in our heart, you know, you could say, I'm grateful. But my mom always said, no, you're not just going to think you're grateful, you're going to show you're grateful. And she would make me sit down and write thank you notes. And you know, as a boy, that was like, almost like torture, because I didn't like to write. My daughters, I've got three wonderful daughters, they'll sit around the house and just write for fun. I think that's crazy. I never did that. If you wanted to make me write, you had to sit me down and tell me, you are going to do this, and then I would do it just because I had to. But I would write those thank you notes. It was a choice. It took effort, and it's something that should be done, but it required a specific choice. Expressing gratitude requires our action. It can't just be inside. Gratitude stems from the inside, but is always expressed on the outside. Expressing our gratitude can be done with our mouth, with our prayer, with our writing. Paul said, I thank God for you at every remembrance of you. He was writing that to those churches. With our service and with our action, gratitude is a choice. Number two tonight, I see that gratitude always stems from a humble heart. This man was a leper. He knew he was an outcast. He knew he had no hope. But after being cleansed, we see that he didn't just carry on his way. He came and bowed the knee. He completely went prostrate in the dirt before Jesus. He said, I've been bestowed mercy. I've been bestowed grace. I've been bestowed kindness. Thank you, Jesus. We are not where we are as a result of ourselves. Where we are today is a blessing from God Almighty. The Bible says in James 1:17, every good gift, every perfect gift cometh down from above, from the Father of lights, with whom there is no variableness, neither shadow of turning. Any good thing we have in our lives, it's not a result of us. We can't become proud and boastful of the things that we have, because God could take it away that quickly. Humility says, I'm thankful for what I've been given. Thanksgiving comes from a humble heart and says, Lord, I'm nothing, but you've been so good to me. Lord, I don't deserve this, but you have been so good to me. Thanksgiving is a result of a choice. Thanksgiving is a result of a humble heart. And then I want you to see, thirdly, our gratitude or lack of gratitude is seen by the Savior. When we express our gratitude, Jesus sees it. But when we fail to express our gratitude, Jesus also sees it. He's taking note. Christ saw and observed this one man. But as soon as this man's thanksgiving service was over, Jesus didn't immediately praise the man, but he immediately noted the people that weren't there. He noted the people that weren't grateful, and then he drew attention to the man that was grateful. I wonder how many times God has looked at my life and said, "Son, you're not very grateful for what I've given you." I wonder how much he's looked at me and said, "Man, I blessed him beyond measure, but he's not grateful for that." What a convicting thought. Christian, God expects gratitude from our lives. It is his will for us to be grateful. For we see in 1 Thessalonians 5:17, "In everything give thanks. Well, this is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning you." That means he expects gratitude when you're high on the mountaintop. And he expects gratitude when you're in the valley. He expects gratitude and he calls for gratitude when things are going well and when they're not going well. He expects gratitude when we're doing well financially and when it's not going well. When the health is at a high or when the health is at a low, he expects gratitude and he's watching. Wonder what our gratitude quotient is in the Savior's eyes tonight. There was a man in the army, and he was working very diligently. He was fighting in the front lines, and General George Patton saw this man's service, and he sent him behind the lines for a period of time to rest and recuperate. And he gave this man a reprise, a break from the battle. The man went back, he was rested, and he was very grateful for the time away from the war. And he wrote General Patton a thank you note as he was heading back to the battle. He mailed it in to the general. And General Patton said, "In 35 years as a military man, I've tried my very best to help my men have comfort and ease as much as they could have in these type of environments. But you're the first one to ever write me a thank you note." I wonder, in the Christian life, in the great North Valley Baptist Church, I wonder how many times God looks down and says, "Well, the people that are grateful are really the minority. They're not really the big group. They're just the small percentage." Jesus is looking down wondering, where is our gratitude? Where are the nine tonight? Jesus is looking. And lastly, I see that thankfulness brought this man even greater blessings. The nine men that were declared physically healed by the priests, they went on their way. But this one man, if you look in verse number 19, it says, "And he said unto him, Arise and go thy way, thy faith hath made thee whole." Amen. This one man was declared whole by the great high priest. This man was not just physically healed, but he went away spiritually healed. He got a greater blessing because of his gratitude. I wonder what God is waiting to do for us tonight, but he's just simply waiting for us to be grateful for what we've already been given. I love scooping ice cream for my family. I enjoy eating ice cream. It's one of the great, great privileges of being a dad, is scooping the ice cream and enjoying it with your family. I love ice cream. And I'm sure as you've had it happen in your home just like this, but I've scooped the ice cream for my girls. And occasionally, not very often, I'll hand them their bowl and they'll say, "Dad, that's all I get?" And I say, "Yes, that's all you get. You're not grateful? I'm not giving you any more." But then there's times where they say, "Wow, Dad, that's awesome. Thank you so much." You know what? I'm about ready to go get them another scoop. I'm so excited that their attitude and their gratefulness that I'm ready to give them some more blessing. Tonight, I wonder if God's looking down on our lives saying, "If they just be grateful, I'd really love to pour it out on their lives." But tonight, the question is, where are the nine? Where are the nine? Are you one of the nine or are you one of the one? All of us in this room have been blessed. But our gratitude is our choice. Our gratitude is our action. And it comes from a humble heart. Maybe tonight you just need to come to the altar and say, "Lord, I've been a little weak in my gratitude. I've had a little bit of an absence of thanksgiving. I maybe have become so focused on the busyness of life, on the circumstances around me, that I've failed in this area of just giving you glory for what you've done for me. So tonight, maybe the reset button just needs to be hit right before Thanksgiving. And may it not just be a one-week decision, but maybe a 52-week decision. I'm going to be grateful before God for what he's done in my life. Lord, I'm so thankful for our church and for the privilege it is to preach your word. And I pray that, God, you'd help in this invitation each of us to consider our level of gratitude. And I pray that, God, you would speak to our hearts in a very real way, that we would leave here a more grateful people before you tonight.
Thank you for listening to the audio preaching podcast from North Valley Baptist Church in Santa Clara, California, led by Pastor Jack Treiber. For more information about our ministry or to find out how to get in contact with us, visit our website at nvbc.org. May God bless you as you serve Him this week.